Nehemiah chapter 4. You can remain seated. I'm going to go ahead and read. I'll just go ahead and read the chapter. It's not too many verses. I'm going to cover the whole subject, and we'll go back through it and see what we can learn from it. But it says in verse number 1 in Nehemiah chapter 4, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of the Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break it down, break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." That's a scary thing, that man of God like Nehemiah praying over you. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, and they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come up and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, unto our God, and set our watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto, us 10 times, From all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows, and the havergans and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one of them had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said to the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning until the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem. Then the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off. You know, excuse my baby pterodactyl back there. That's what she sounds like. We're in Nehemiah, obviously, again tonight. It's been a while since we've been here, a couple weeks anyways. This is the fourth message I've preached in this series on Revive, if you want to call it that. I'm trying to learn as much as I can, teach you as much as I can about the subject of revival leading up to our meeting in a couple weeks. Not long now, it's just 2 weeks, and we'll already be through 2 services and in a 3rd service of the revival. It's coming up quick. But I preached in Nehemiah chapter 1. How Nehemiah cared enough to have revival. In chapter 2, how he had enough faith to have revival. In chapter 3, he was willing to work enough to have revival. Tonight, they're still working, but in chapter 4, they're having to work and battle at the same time. They were willing to fight hard enough to have revival. I've always liked this chapter here, and that is for verse number 17. I read it earlier. They which built on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, the other hand held a weapon. So Lord's help, I'm going to preach a few minutes on a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. Got my hammer tonight. Got my sword. Get your attention. I said this time and time again, if not doing anything for the Lord, the devil will usually leave us alone. You can mark it down. The second you start getting things right, the second you start rebuilding some walls, the second you start trying to get closer to God than you've been before, closer to things of God than you've been before, the devil's going to notice. He's going to take notice. He's going to do his best. Let's put a stop to it. Sanballat here in this passage did not mind Jerusalem being there, or even the people, as long as they were down and out, discouraged, and their walls were broken down. He didn't care if they were there or not. But now Nehemiah has shown up. Nehemiah cares. He has some faith. He's willing to work. He's willing to battle. He carries a sword. Sanballat does not like it. He's working. He's willing to work. And walls and towers and gates are going back up. Sanballat notices, and he's ready for a fight, ready to stop it, put a stop to it, fight against it. If Jerusalem were strong and had power again, that would push Sanballat off the top of the hill. Sanballat would no longer be the king of the hill in the neighborhood like he was before. Satan's going to try to use Sanballat as a weapon to destroy the work of God, destroy God's people. God's going to turn into a tool to make them better and stronger workers and make them more determined to get the work accomplished and work longer hours and longer nights and get done quicker. Charles Spurgeon said this, God had one son without sin, but he never had a son without a trial. 1 John says, we are made the sons of God. We all face trials. Never been a son of God without a trial. Even the only begotten Son of God faced trials after trial after trial, faced Satan's trials himself. Trouble is going to come. Trials are going to come. I know it's encouraging tonight. You will have troubles and trials in your life. It's just the way it is with life. Trials are going to come. Will they be weapons to destroy us? Will they be tools to build us up, like we see here? There's a painter in London, read this story on the St. Paul's Cathedral. His name was Sir James Thornhill. The story has been told that while he's painting, he stepped back to admire his work. While he was distracted from his own work, he forgot where he was, and he was one step away from falling off the scaffolding and falling and probably killing himself, walking back too far, one step away from killing himself. A friend nearby saw what was about to happen and in an instant grabbed a paintbrush and ran towards James Thornhill's new painting to mess it up. In that same instance, James Thornhill saw that, ran forward to protect his own painting, knocked the guy down. Because the painter ran forward to protect his work at the same time, his life was saved. He ran forward instead of stepping back one more step. I believe sometimes things come in our lives, and at the moment, it seems like it's going to ruin our painting, if you want to call it that. At the same time, it saved us from destruction. We may never see what the trouble has saved us from, but had it not been for the trial or the trouble or the paintbrush, we'd have fallen to our destruction. I believe many times trials protect us, keep us out of bigger trouble that we didn't even know was going on. We all have trials. We all go through troubles. If we're going to do something for God, trouble will come. You can mark it down, take it to the bank, whatever you want to call it. Trials will come. Those trials can either destroy us or they can build us. The choice is up to me and you. Are you going to quit or are you going to grab your sword and keep building? Grab your hammer, grab your sword and keep building. Satan or Sanballat here in this passage uses four different devices to try to remove God's people from the work. Look at some of those tonight. There's four different devices. Number one, Satan uses ridicule. He used it here in this passage. It says in verse number one, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O guard, we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Warren Wiersbe, I don't agree with everything he says, but some things are good. Some people who can stand bravely when they're shot at will collapse when they're laughed at. That's a pretty good statement. I've seen that many times. Ridicule. Satan will use ridicule to try to get you out of the work of God. It's not uncommon for the enemy to ridicule God's people and his work. Goliath ridiculed Israelites' army, ridiculed David. God used David to kill him with a little rock and a sling. Jesus was mocked by soldiers when he was on trial. The soldiers fainted when they saw God's angel. Hebrews 11:36 says, and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And we think we have it rough. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. If you're ridiculed and looked down on for working for God, you're in pretty good company. I know I've already preached on this a good bit last week, preaching on those crazy Christians. If you're being laughed at for God's work, it's usually a pretty good sign. God's about to bless you. God's about to use you to do something, accomplish something. While the enemy down here is raging and ridiculing, God in heaven is laughing. You see that in Psalms chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Sanballat starts off in verse 2, calling them the feeble Jews. On the outside, they were feeble. And God's up in heaven laughing about it. Their own city is sitting in destruction. This isn't the first time they've tried to fix it. Read the book of Ezra. Sanballat has seen that. He sees it again. Calls them the feeble Jews. These Jews, from our human perspective, Sanballat's probably right. They are feeble. They have very little human resource, very little building resources other than what the king's given them. But the spiritual resources they have that are unseen are unending. One thing Sanballat overlooked was the fact these were God's people doing God's work, not just the Jews building the wall. They were God's people building God's wall. We here at New Hope Baptist Church may be small in number compared to some, but the spiritual power in here is evident. Most people can't see it, but I believe it's immeasurable. The work for missions we have done and will do, the power, the spiritual resources, they look feeble to some. They can't see the soul. He says, will they fortify themselves? Will they build a wall around the feeble people? Will they sacrifice? Now Samuel's making fun of their religious practices. They're sacrificing. He's saying, will they sacrifice to make them stronger, make the wall go up? No, that's all these Jews are good for anyway, is what he's saying here, just making sacrifices. Will they make an end in a day? Will they finish the wall in a day? Make it seem like the Jews had no idea of the job they had started. Will they revive the stones out of heaps of the rubbish which are burned, Sanballat says. Will they reuse the same old broken down walls? Sanballat's pointing fingers at their walls that were burnt down. That's not what Nehemiah described it as. Nehemiah 2:13 says, and I went out by the night by the gate of the valley, even for the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, not burned down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. These walls were broken down. They were not burned down. It doesn't say anything about the walls, the stone walls being burned. That tells me there were some better materials inside Jerusalem than Sanballat realized there was. I believe there's more potential inside these four walls of this church than most people realize that is in here. People may look at the little Baptist church at the end of the road in the ghetto, if you want to call it that, outskirts of Craig, and there's not much here to work with. They can't see what's on the inside. There's a lot of potential. There's something to rebuild, something worth rebuilding here. There's something that God used for God's glory here. Then little Tobiah speaks up, and if they build it, a little fox will climb on the wall and tear it down and break it down. It reminds me of a cartoon character or something. Got the big bully and little Tobiah around on the corner picking on the Israelites. What does Nehemiah do? Well, he puts his hammer and his pickaxe down, and he goes out and picks a fight with them. That's not what happens. It says in verse 4 that Nehemiah begins to pray. We've already learned about those little short prayers in Nehemiah before, in two chapters before. They're powerful prayers. Last time Nehemiah did that powerful prayer, the king granted him everything he wanted to go to Israel, go to rebuild the walls, granted him permission to go, granted him the army to go, follow behind him and lead the way, gave him supplies to do it. Nehemiah prays again. Nehemiah's blunt. He says, Lord, look at them, what they're doing. Don't cover it up. Don't cover their sin. Lord, please don't blot their sin out. Look at what they're doing. Look at their sin and judge them for that sin. Lord, I don't have time to deal with it. You look at them, what they're doing to your people, and you take care of it. You know what happens in verse 6? So we built the wall, he says. It didn't stop them. They kept on building. The wall was joined together. So the people had a mind to work. You have a mind to work here, church. We're trying to have revival here. Is your mind in it anymore? I know we've come through Christmas and got New Year's this week, and all the distractions involved with that, and all the traveling going on, understand that. It's time to get back to work. It's time to rebuild, time to get your mind right. Do you have a mind to work? Do you have a mind for revival, a mind to get it to work and get right and get things right? Is it time to get back into prayer and seeking God's face and turning from our wicked ways so that God will hear and heal our land? It's time we have a mind to work. Don't worry about the ridicule that may come. Maybe the devil's telling you it's not worth it. Maybe he's telling you these prayer meetings were a waste of time and the pastor has lost his mind. You're probably right, I probably have. Just keep on working. Just keep coming. Keep praying. Just keep seeking his face. They had a mind to work. Despite the ridicule, they kept on working. We see Satan used ridicule to put an end to their work. Satan will use intimidation to put an end to it. Verse number 7. But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, and they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come up and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, set a watch against them day and night because of them. Nehemiah's enemies joined forces together against him. They realized the ridicule wasn't working. They saw a wall going up and said, oh no, we've got to put a stop to that right now before we get ourselves in trouble. These little feeble Jews are actually getting something accomplished, believe it or not. Don't be surprised when God starts working, when the revival fire starts stirring, that the ridicule and threats of the devil started to become more and more real. That threat of the health problem is now a real threat of a health problem, real problem. That financial trouble is out there in the distance, now raises this ugly head. I remember we were praying for revival back at our home church, North Carolina. We were praying for weeks like we are now at cottage prayer meetings. I think it was the day the revival started. I think it was, now they can know better than me, but I think the pastor's appliances all started going out. I think the refrigerator and AC maybe went out, and everything was breaking the day of revival. Been praying for weeks. The devil's fighting, causing trouble, causing stress, causing financial strain, trying to get the pastor's mind off the revival meeting. God's still working. God still moved and helped us there in that meeting. Anyway, don't be surprised. We get closer and closer to the meeting, that threats start becoming a reality. The trials start to show up at your doorstep. There's ridicule before, and now there's threatenings, intimidation. What does Nehemiah do? He sets a watch. He says, okay, they want to have a battle. Well, let's get prepared. They set a watch. Nehemiah 4:17. They which builded the wall and made it bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, with other hand held a weapon. They had a hammer and they had a sword. Nehemiah said, don't stop working. Set a watch, build an army. Those that are working, you be armed. Notice every one of them was armed with a weapon. Even those building the wall had a weapon. Every one of us here tonight ought to be ready for the attack, prepared to fight against Satan's armies. We are to be ready for the trials and burdens to come. It wasn't just Nehemiah that had a sword. They all had weapons. It's not just me that ought to be praying and seeking God.